All the scripture passages we heard read for us this morning touch on seeing but not seeing, on having the ability of sight or being sighted, but not knowing or recognizing what is being seen. These Lenten scripture lessons remind us of the limits of our abilities as creatures, beloved of God. The four scripture passages highlight four ways in which human beings need help to see. We need God's help to see others more clearly, to see the way forward, to see right and wrong, and to see Jesus. We need these four things, one from each of the passages we heard read for us, to see others more clearly, to see the way forward, to see right from wrong, and to see Jesus. We need God's help for each of these things. But why do we need this reminder or even correction? Because there is a dangerous error that we fall into as human beings, that we can rely completely on our own senses and all on our own come to the best judgment, to the right decisions. I've looked at all the facts, we say. I see what's going on. I've got so-and-so figured out. I see who they are. I know what I'm doing. I can see it plainly. The scriptures say, no, you don't. You need God's help. It's great for me. I really enjoy living near the downtown. I like being able to walk to so many of the places that I go to throughout the week and getting to know everyone. I'm often singing that song from Sesame Street these days. Who are the people in your neighborhood? Yeah. I even have the cardigan now. I feel very much like that was me. I could have been that. I love the diversity of our city. And one group I've noticed increasingly over the last maybe 10 years or so are people who are blind or legally blind. There are many days I see them walking, making their ways up and down the streets, sometimes with canes, sometimes with seeing eye dogs, sometimes together. Sometimes they are clearly blind. Their heads are somewhat tilted. You have that sense that they're seeing with their ears as they make their way forward more than with partial sight. I've seen the blind leading the blind, to be very specific, downtown. The blind leading the blind and neither falling into a ditch. Now, out of curiosity, of those of you who are here who are sighted, is there anyone here who has ended up in a ditch? There's quite a fair number of us. Is there anyone here who is sighted who has been lost? And yet we have this expression, the blind leading the blind. Why does it resonate with people who are sighted? I think it reveals to us, it exposes that as human beings we are vulnerable to overestimating the ability of the senses that we do have. And our ability to interpret those senses accurately all on our own. I know what I saw. I know what I heard. I was there. This seems especially true of sight in our culture. We have the metaphor to see. We use that as a metaphor, rather, to mean I know or I understand. I see what you are saying. I see what you mean. I see what you're getting at. All these are using the metaphor of sight for understanding and knowing suggests that we really lift that one sense up highly above others. At the heart of this, I would suggest, is a compulsive self-sufficiency, self-reliance. I don't need help. I can see what I'm doing. This mistakes how our eyes work. We tend, I think, unconsciously, especially now with video cameras and cameras, we tend to think of our eyes in that way, as if they were just a video camera that you open them and they're on and they're working. They see everything, they record everything, but it is so much more complex than that. I was talking with Barry about these passages this week, and he brought this up. Gosh, when Jesus healed someone, the man born blind, it's not so simple as just opening the eyes. It's your whole nervous system has to be retrained. You have to be able to understand what's going on. If you've ever read the works, the popular works of Oliver Sacks, a neurosurgeon, he tells us that some very tragic stories of people who, after a whole life of not being able to see, have their sight restored. And it is such a traumatic experience for them that they often go through wearing blindfolds afterward. It is an amazing thing what Christ did. Our eyes are so much more complex than just seeing. This has been brought home to me personally many times over the years. I like walking through Wascana Park. I especially like walking between Broad Street and Douglas Park Hill. That's a wilder patch around the lake. I like it because there's flowers, there's birds. I thought I was fairly informed. But I started decades ago walking with a bird book. And all of a sudden, I noticed there was this little yellow flicker of a creature. I thought, looked it up and it's a yellow warbler. I was just enthralled. I remember telling, some knowledgeable birders, I saw a yellow warbler, and good job. I was pleased. And then I went for a walk and I saw, oh, there's hundreds of these things. And then I was working, washing my dishes in the kitchen, and I look up and I, well, they're in my backyard. How did I miss these things? They're like little flying lemons. Brilliant, neon, yellow, and I've always missed them. And I know their song. Gosh, I hear it everywhere I go now. How did I go through 20, 30 years of life and never see a lemon flying through the air, landing in a tree in front of me? How could I miss them? The same thing happened with orioles. Fluorescent orange birds of a good size, larger than the yellow warbler. I've told people in our city, we're walking through a park and I hear a sound, that's an oriole. But we don't have orioles here. I said, yes, we do. We have orioles here. No, I've never seen one. Well, I remember the first time I saw it, again, with binoculars and my bird book, and I, oh, an oriole. Mom, Dad, I saw an oriole today. Oh, that's very nice, Joel. That's great. Well done. And then again, sure enough, as I'm walking along, oh, yeah, they're absolutely everywhere. I remember distinctly coming on a walk to Broad Street and the South Road that runs alongside the lake. And there was a tree of like 8 or 9 feet high with 7 orioles sitting there. And I thought, now you're just making fun of me. Just mocking me. I needed help from God. I needed help from other human beings to help me to see what was as plain as a neon fluorescent orange bird or a yellow bird sitting in a tree in front of my nose. I needed someone else's help to see something that obvious. People go to wine tasting in order to learn to taste, not because they're snobs or they want to appear sophisticated. They're learning to taste. People take part in studying music and learning about music in order to learn to hear what is going on. It's happening right here, and yet we can't hear it until someone begins to explain it to us. Or by God's mercy, we begin to understand. For that matter, people born blind don't just hear and touch fully all on their own. People who are born blind also need God's help and the help of others to hear and to touch, to know what they are hearing and touching as they move around. Okay, I'm on a street, coming up to an intersection. I'm passing a doorway. That's John's footsteps coming. Oh, here comes Joel. We need the help of others. If we say, I can see all on my own, I can hear, I don't need help, we risk missing out. Now, sometimes, as human beings, we actually double down. Someone tries to challenge us, to help us understand, to help us see or hear or taste or touch, and we dismiss what they're trying to tell us. That's not real. You're just making that up. I don't know if you remember these 3D pictures that came out all those years ago. They were infuriating things until you could see them. And then they were a lot of fun to show people. These were these pictures where a computer would generate these images in a repeating pattern. And if your eyes focused on the picture, you just see what's in front of you. But if you manage to look through it, your eyes actually separate, and you're looking back here, an image, a three-dimensional image appears within the picture. Does everyone remember these? I feel like in the 90s they were so popular. And I remember distinctly someone showing me and not explaining all of this and going, I don't know. But then a person beside me, the emperor in his new clothes, the person beside me going, oh yeah, I think I can see it. Yeah, yeah. And other people saying, there's nothing there. People are just making this up. They're just trying to make me feel stupid. But there is actually a picture here. And you can't actually learn to see them. But we sometimes double down and say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just seeing what you want to see. I'm not going to be fooled. There's nothing there. We need the help of others and the help of God in order to see. And that's what all these scripture passages are talking about. In the Old Testament lesson, Samuel, the prophet, was sent by God. Go to Bethlehem. Go to the home of Jesse, and I'm going to show you that one of those sons is going to be the next king of Israel. And so the sons lined up, and Saul, who could see clearly, who was sighted, right away picked out the wrong one. God corrected the sighted prophet. Do not look at his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have not chosen him. God does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. All on his own for Samuel, it was not enough for him. He could never have discerned which of these sons of Jesse was the king. He needed God's help to be able to see clearly, to see people clearly, to recognize who they were, to see their hearts. Abinadab and Shammah and David and all the sons walked before the sighted prophet. He saw them with his own eyes, but he needed God's help to see who they really were. In Psalm 23, we had King David, sighted king, and he wrote some of the most famous lines in our culture from Scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord leads me beside still waters. The Lord leads me to good pasture. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not fear, for the Lord is with me. Even though David was sighted, even though he could see, even though David knew the land that he lived in as a shepherd and as a warrior, as someone who had to live in the wilderness, as the king of this land, he knew that he was limited, and he had to rely on God for direction in life. He knew that if he was looking for peace, he knew that if he was trying to find his way through danger, he had to rely on God to lead him, and not on his own sight. Otherwise, we find ourselves blundering through, with full use of our eyes, through land of deep darkness, all on our own. Or seemingly all on our own. Seeing wasn't enough. David knew he had to learn to trust God to help him to see the way forward in life. In the New Testament epistle lesson, the letter read from us from Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul, a sighted apostle, warned us about living with our eyes closed as if we were asleep. Wake up! Open your eyes! Recognize right and wrong. We have to keep in mind that this is Paul, the apostle who, before he was an apostle, had devoted his life to destroying the church, rejecting Jesus, and persecuting and harassing Christians everywhere in his land. But there was a turning point in his life when he was blinded. And not being able to see, he heard a voice saying, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" Robbed of sight, humbled in that moment, he could have continued to resist, but instead, Paul insisted on figuring it out. He opened up to God, and he said, "I do not know who you are." And he met Jesus. He needed God's help to see Jesus. Paul learned in that moment that he thought he knew what was right. He thought he could see clearly right from wrong, that he was devoted and righteous in everything that he was doing. But he learned in that moment that he needed to listen to God. He needed God's help in order to see right from wrong. He needed to be as if he were blind and humble himself before God and ask, "I do not know who you are. Show me. Tell me." And in the gospel lesson, finally, we have the sighted Pharisees and scribes who repeatedly could not see Jesus. Instead, it was a man born blind that recognized Jesus. And not because he had some sort of secret mystic ability that the others lacked, simply because he was willing to say, "Teach me so that I may believe." Some of the religious leaders could not ask for help. Jesus wasn't who people thought he was. He certainly wasn't who he was claiming to be. "I'm not going to be fooled. You're just seeing what you want to see." We are all vulnerable to overestimating our self-sufficiency and self-reliance on our senses. And we risk misjudging others, failing to see great hearts around us. We risk losing our way, especially in the dark and hard times, failing to find our way to good pasture and still waters. We risk sleepwalking through our choices and decisions every day about right and wrong, and crucially, and most heartbreakingly, devastatingly, we risk not seeing Jesus. What must we do? We must make time alone in prayer to say, "Who are you, Lord? Teach me so that I may believe." We must make time in prayer to say, "Help me to see the hearts of other people. Help me to see that you are always with me. Help me to see Jesus." How will we know if we are beginning to learn to see? When we are able to see another side to the people in our life, to the people that we meet. When we are able to slow down and not judge people. When we are able to say, "Maybe I haven't figured them out. Maybe there's more to them than I know." When we are able to look for the good and the best in people. When we are able to assume that there is something going on in their heart, even if we're having a really hard time seeing what that is, there's something there that God sees that I can't. When we learn, we know we are learning to see people when we love them. We are learning to see our way forward in life when we can find peace in hard times. Peace when there is uncertainty. We know we are learning to see when we slow down and pray and we ask God, "Which way should I go? I have a big choice to make here. What is your guidance for me?" We know we are learning to see when we have peace, not because we can tell you our saving plan or our study plan or our plan for work, here's what I'm going to do, but we have peace because we are praying and trusting God and listening to other people in our lives. We know we are learning to see when we are able to ask, is what I'm doing right or wrong? We know we are learning to see when we are willing to try and change the things in us that are so hard to change. We know we are learning to see when we don't do something that feels right and seems right because God is warning us in our hearts. Or perhaps the believers are warning us and cautioning us in our hearts about what we are doing. And so we hold back. We are learning to see when we admit to God and to others the moment we've done something wrong. When we apologize, we confess our sins, we are learning to see. And we are learning to see Jesus when we ask, who are you? It's like when there's someone in our life that we want to spend more time with, we're getting to know them and to really enjoy them, and we want to be with them more. It isn't just what you want to do. What's your plans for the day? No, you want to know what the other person wants to do. You want to know what they're thinking of. It isn't just what you're thinking of and what you're feeling that matters. You want to know what they're thinking about. You want to know what they're feeling. We know when we are learning to see Jesus, when we are just as interested in knowing what he is thinking and feeling as we are in telling him what we are feeling and thinking in the moment. We know we are learning to see Jesus when we want to know we want to know what he wants us to do with our lives, what he wants us to do with our day, as much as we want him to know our hopes and dreams and plans. We know we are learning to see Jesus when we know that he loves us and when we love him in return. Amen.